This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 11 years, first online and now as a podcast. We cover what's new and interesting, and we filter out all the BS. This podcast gives listeners a chance to hear, at length, from people and companies who are making a real mark in the industry, with new ideas or just old-fashioned hard work and smarts. You can listen to episodes online, get it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to pull down the RSS feed. I know a lot of our listeners fire up episodes while they're stuck in traffic or taking the dog for a walk. We now have a companion podcast called Projects, hosted by my longtime industry friend Michael Tutton. That show is all about digging deep on the creative and tech behind landmark projects. You can find that at dsprojects.podbean.com. 16.9 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. I'm changing up the podcast a little bit this week. I have my own rule that I want to talk to a bunch of other companies first before I talk to one a second time. I've also made this podcast about people and not issues. But this week, I'm talking to Gary Feather, CTO of the display company Nanolumens, even though I spoke with his boss, Rick Cope, last summer. Here's why. Feather is running a webinar next week on security and the steps he thinks any substantial digital signage operator out there should be taking to ensure their screens and systems are not compromised by hackers. The risk is not just about keeping some teenagers from getting naughty movies up on the screens in a store, though that's definitely not good. It's also about ensuring the connected media players driving screens are not the side door access into private and mission-critical systems within businesses. Target's big hack 3 years ago came in through the HVAC systems, after all. It's an important subject, and we spend this podcast previewing a little of what he plans to talk about on August 8th. So, Gary, thanks for joining me. I know that you're going to be doing a webinar on security and digital signage, and that's what really prompted wanting me to do this podcast. So I think it's a really interesting issue that isn't discussed enough, and I'm curious what's prompted your decision to do this webinar, and let's just talk about some of the big issues.
Well, thanks for an opportunity to talk about this, Dave. The motivation around security is nothing new. It's something I think all of us have lived with in all of our systems for a long period of time. So as far as prompting us to do this, it's a logical extension of the work that I've done for decades in the area of connected products. Mm-hmm.
And what are the big issues out there? I mean, we've all seen and read about digital signs that have been hacked, compromised in some way. Sometimes it's just monkey business where people are putting porn channels on a TV or whatever. But there are far bigger issues involved, are there not?
Certainly, there are bigger issues than just the content. And as you said, those that are hacking for amusement, in some cases, are probably an important element for us to understand the security. However, based on the deployment of these systems across all types of verticals, the impact of hacking a display and maybe replacing real data with fake data and confusing how the digital sign system is being used for an audience of customers, the impact of that could be devastating to a business in the area of miscommunication, everything from quick serve signage all the way through large area displays in airports. So I think it's necessary we take this as serious as is taken in normal corporate IT systems and begin to the process, or if you will, the journey of making products compatible with the requirements that we think are necessary to support what our customers need in their environments.
Do you get any kind of a sense of how vulnerable the average digital signage network or large video wall display or whatever is?
There's been studies done in the industry across IT systems. So let's back up just a little bit and look at the perspective of this with regard to not a signage question and not just a display question. It backs up to an IoT or Internet of Things question. Okay. There's a quote from the chairman of Cisco from years ago that amazing things happen when you connect products. And unfortunately, the amazing that happens, we all think about the wonderful things that are possible and we experience in our everyday life as we remain connected on so many fronts. Those advantages can relate to communication, to content, to even accessing our financial information or paying a bill. So those are some of the benefits. But as we add each capability, and as we've added this connected product aspect, then what comes with that is the security issues and the ability to ensure that the product is only doing what we want it to do. So in IT, as products became connected, you're faced with basically four levels of what occurs with any product. Now realize we all already have a display on nearly every connected product that we're involved with right now, whether it's our laptop or phone or others. Mm-hmm. So the fact that now what we would classically call in the industry digital signage is now containing much of that type of information, these same problems that the IT guys have been working, we want to work. Mm-hmm. So what does an IT guy tell you, or what does a security IT firm talk about? We need to start talking in that same language. I rarely want to invent anything new. I want to try to leverage what people are doing and optimize that for our application. So what we need to focus on is the aspects of detection of our systems for vulnerability. Detection is critical to know what's going on. That's the first indicator of reality of, as you just asked the question, how vulnerable are they? Well, am I detecting anybody getting into my system? Then it goes to an attack. Somebody now is trying to penetrate the system. They're not successful yet, but I need to know what that is, what's happened. Moves on to a system breach that would occur in the system. And then finally, the level of corruption you have. So that's a normal tier of what an IT person would consider. So you might expect, and it's true, that systems are, there's detected attacks on all of our computer systems on a regular daily basis. But that doesn't mean that it leads to the fourth item, which is a third or fourth, which is breach or corruption. Mm-hmm. So the situation is one we need to move forward and begin to treat this more seriously. And this is a call to action for all of us to join into that community and begin to take our customers' needs very seriously in this front.
And you're saying that. Are you suggesting that this isn't being taken very seriously, but at least by some companies?
Well, absolutely. From an implementation of systems, there's some new areas being explored where we as a desired industry want to connect things. We want to be able to have a system such that the customer and or service is able to easily access things to support the displays. And with that, decisions are being made early into these products sometimes to get all the benefits of that without facing the fact that you're opening vulnerabilities to those systems.
So very simple passwords, web-based access, on and on. Those are fraught with risk.
They are. And the Outdoor Advertising Association in 2016 had commissioned a separate company to come in and audit what was going on in that industry. And of course, we know why, because of the significant number of successful detect through corruption that occurred. Mm-hmm. And as we talked about that, they looked at what would you do. And from their perspective, I think they highlighted a number of normal things that we would expect. And we will talk about some of that in an upcoming webinar without going through the list. But as we explore this, we become more sensitive to the items, then they become more real and we understand that. So starting with the list that Bill Ripp had commissioned to get done, looking at that list and where we are, I think there's a lot more things already in just a few months that can highlight what each of us needs to do. And I think our position is try to get out everything we've learned and then let others join in what they've learned and collectively build on top of this so we can have a continuous improvement to the security of our systems.
So I'm a end user client. I'm using some sort of a platform, whether it's for digital out of home or for retail displays, quick service menu displays, whatever. What are the kinds of questions I should be asking my service provider right now, based on what you're putting out there?
That's a good question, and I think the better question is for him to be in a situation where he's demanding he sees what questions you've already answered. Uh-huh. You know, we don't want that person in a position where it's trying to just force them to come up with a solution. They should be asking the first and main question, tell me your approach to security. Mm-hmm. And that open-ended question should lead to what are the steps that a person is taking. So while they could audit the system, and maybe that's better to what you said, we all can talk about something. Let's just pick one topic, which you talked about, is improve password strength. You know, that's a trivial thing, but it's a chronic problem. But what is the policy? You don't tell me to improve it. What is the policy you're following? Do you go through with password detection systems and try to hack the system regularly yourself to verify there are no loose passwords? Because with many people have access to systems, we can have policies for that. But there's, how do I ensure that one of the people didn't put password in as their password? And based on that, if someone can attack your system, get access to it, see the user, he can emulate the user, and he tries that, it could work. And if there's 100 users, it could take a matter of seconds before he's tried all of those. And if he gets in, he's caught. So you have to not have a policy only, you have to actually implement and audit your own systems. There's a range of items that from our perspective, we can go through in detail. I think specifically what a key attribute of this is segmentation. So the first, and that's what I'd call a level one solution and one we'll highlight in the webinar. Segmentation would be anything from the range of your networks are different for corporate and your system, and your systems are not all bundled together. Yes, we'd like to do that. It's wonderful if everything connects to everything, but that means everything is equally vulnerable. A real simple example of that might be the control of the power to the data system driving it or to the display, but let's go with the data system driving it. If that power control for automatic cutoff is part of the network that is actually controlling the data that somebody may attack, then you haven't segmented those two. So the result is if the display is hacked and you say, well, we'll just shut off the power, when you go to access it to shut off the power, he's disabled that already for you. So you need to not put your systems all together. This is a very common process done in the IT corporate world. It's performed on many, many fronts. The air conditioning system at a major retailer and its control is separate from the financial system at the store. So you may want access to that for many of the subcontractors to access the system remotely. But if they're in the system that is the same, you have an issue. Segmentation is probably one of the biggest flaws that exists within the system now. Then two-step, effectively multi-factor authentication. That's a critical element. We all see it today on our products. It's emerging where when you go to log in, it then says, you know, how can I verify this with you? Either through an email or through a text message back to you. So we're adding another layer that even if I do have your ID, even if I do have your login, I still can't get into it because I'm rolling that authentication on a regular basis. And that two level or multi-factor authentication with a password, it could also include a token or a key fob or other things that are out there to support that. So this goes well beyond the password. And it's not cumbersome for anybody that needs access to a system. In fact, it's expected on their part. It would only be an issue if it's somebody who doesn't belong in the system and they don't want to adhere to that. You know, a third area, and there are a number of these that we can go through, but a third area to highlight is realizing that if everything is controlled by a particular NOC, the question isn't how is this system protected, how is the NOC protected? What is going on at that company? And there are very specific things we want to bring out in the webinar with regard to other particular hardware and system-based solutions. But that's just three, and happy to go through more of those if you want.
Right. The challenge here, I suspect, in part, in my experience in doing consulting, is the hardcore IT people within end-user companies often want to sit in on the first meetings when a digital signage network of whatever stripe is being considered. But in almost every case I've seen, they don't want to own it. They don't want to run it. They want to see it segmented and largely wipe their hands of it. That leaves it to people who are in corporate communications functions or internal marketing functions, that sort of thing, to make decisions around a network. And those people, generally speaking, don't have any real hardcore IT background, and they don't even know what questions to ask.
I'd agree with your premise. That is probably what's been seen in the past. But part of this call to action is that depending on any application, depending on that implementation, we have to incorporate and have to encourage the integrated support of that through the life of the product.
Yeah.
And we have seen that on many occasions in the last 6 months. We have helped people build from an IT perspective the way they want to audit and inquire about those implementations and then how they want to monitor that on a periodic basis. So as an example, with systems we've deployed, periodic logs are pulled that show all the access to the systems, and then they're run against those that have access and physical locations and what IP address they were at. So it's just a sorting. IT does that with their normal systems. We need to encourage that to be incorporated into the signage solution, especially if it's a multi-store rollout of a system. It has to become integrated into the philosophy of IP to, of the IT group to support that. There isn't any alternative to that. You just have to do that. And that's a learning experience. But it's the issue is this, what we talked about, we have to get serious about security, and it has to be integrated as to a one solution, because any weak link in the system is going to affect the whole system. So we have to make sure we're being judicious on that portion.
It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to you browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
So you've got this phenomenon now. I don't want to say phenomenon, but it's the way a lot of companies are doing their business, where they want full service turnkey provider from a third party to manage damn near every aspect of their digital signage network. And the IT people within the client company maybe have some oversight over it, but on a day-to-day basis, they don't have any visibility over it. So therefore, it's in the hands of a third party to worry about all those things. Is that workable?
I believe it is. And we have met with a number of IT groups to work through that. And once they realize this needs to fall under their purview and their expertise will be important, I think they do come on board. I have not seen a resistance to do that. However, as you've highlighted, the signage industry in the past was about large, bright images for a segmented group of the community and to provide a certain feature and function. But it is truly now an integrated part of the IT infrastructure. The only way to effectively use the signage solution that you've procured is to make it part of that infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And I think that evolution occurs because of desire and need and exploitation of the value of this visual solution, or the whole visualization solution created. And I think that is coming around. And that's why I think at this time, it's the right time as a call to action to get that group involved and understand. And it only takes a little momentum. And as you highlighted, maybe a little concern on some people's part for that to be a success. So right. I have no concerns about this. I'm very, very confident that we'll have no trouble getting the industry to move in this direction. It happened in television sets when we started the interconnection of TVs. And that has been taken very seriously. And that really started in 2003. Are there still open issues? Yes. But where we are now is significantly more mature and more aligned with what the IT infrastructure is than initially when they were just one-off solutions being deployed to consumers.
Right. So the doctor knows that I've run into the IT guys within companies who say, I don't want anything to do with this. They may have been able to do that in the past and said, you know, run this outside the firewall, run your own connectivity, do your own thing. The reality is these days, with systems needing to be interconnected and data being shared and that data being used to trigger content and so on, means that IT has to be involved on a rolling basis, even maybe if you know, the servers and everything else are cloud hosted and all that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think if you look at the list of what drives the company toward the security in these applications is, you know, from the issue of the reliability and availability of the system, you know, they might argue, well, I'm not responsible for that from an IT perspective. But then when you mention there's some risk in attack, they have to say, wait, that's our corporate display. So now you've got my attention. And then they realize that, all right, well, somebody could cause damage to this system specifically. And they say, okay, well, yeah, so it needs to be secure physically as well. And then you mentioned, well, the company's name is that on that. So the whole company reputation could be impacted mm-hmm. by an attack on our product. So now I'm interested, and you've sort of, you know, piqued my interest in trying to make sure I don't let this happen. Because it isn't a one-off solution. It's an integrated part of the way a company communicates to its customers. So it's as important as your website. And I think that is indeed where we are with this. It's just a learning process. So it's not so much we have to be patient, but we have to educate people to understand that. And then they'll respond accordingly. I really, as I said, I'm very optimistic how fast that would move.
Is the risk one of malice of somebody getting in and putting the wrong message on screens just for giggles? Or is the risk that this is a backdoor into the larger system so that they can get at transactional information and personal information, that sort of thing?
Well, it's these two and others. The example recently with a major retailer getting their customer credit card database completely corrupted through swipes was accessed through an HVA system that got into their rest of their corporate system, which then just sat and monitored card swipes
right.
and stole the data. So that absolutely is an imperative in there, that there has to be an understanding of that. So I think from that perspective, I believe that's clear. But, you know, let's take it another step further. If the data on the display is depicting something that the company is using to support their operation, and it's corrupted with wrong data, think about the implications of that. From an example, could be as simple as a quick serve restaurant where all the prices suddenly change.
Yeah.
And customer pandemonium sets in. But let's take it even to another level. Let's take the FIDS data at an airport. If that data is corrupted and somebody moves you to all different gates, or if it begins to cancel flights, the impact of that could shut an airport down in a matter of a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And you may not even be able to detect that the data is wrong. But once you've had an attack, people can be much more than just interesting activities. It turns into, you know, some significant problems that, of course, can occur at lots of levels in a system today. But since they're taking that seriously, don't we have to take the deployment and the delivery of the data just as seriously? Because, again, back to the weakest link. If right before I present it, the data could be corrupted, why was I putting all the security on before that system?
Mm-hmm. And I guess it could also be a mechanism to cause a lot of chaos in something like an airport, where all the security and everything else has to go to resolve that, and therefore something else is happening.
That's correct. And I think, you know, then to kind of dash through what we think about, everyone has an imagination of everything they want to do in the display industry. And then if it ties to the IT of the company, then we need to think about what we want to do in security. So we have companies that they want, you know, intrusion detection systems, intrusion prevention systems, the asset management, security awareness training, auditing. And then, of course, what you hear about all the time is malware. It's the cheapest thing, you know, for someone to buy is anti-malware software solutions. But the problem is usually financially. From a budget perspective, people start with malware and don't get further up the list.
Yeah.
And serious companies do, because they understand the impact of this. And what we need to do is begin to educate people and then provide the tools and systems and standards and guidelines in many cases to follow to make sure that your systems, you're doing the best you can, and then monitoring that. But it is critical. This detection is a critical element. Detection lets you understand the environment. So if you're being threatened on a regular basis, you know that you've got to tighten things up now, and that's well before there's actual corruption, which is the end activity. So it's being aware of the environment, preparing for that, and taking it seriously as you go along. And Dave, this is a journey. I mean, let's be clear on this. there's not a simple standard that if I incorporate this, life is good. We all know that because of the IT industry.
Yeah.
We see that as the systems become more sophisticated, the access is there. From our side, though, we kind of get down into the nitty gritty, and we want to cover some of that information in the webinar to talk about to people about what to do. And simple things, we mentioned a few when we started this, but open ports on systems they have. So basically, after you commission a system, you can go through and scan, for web server vulnerabilities in a system. And that's just a practice to do. And, it's sort of like making sure all the bolts are tight. Mm-hmm. And then you lock down those server configurations. That's important to do. And after you've done that, you've got to hide all the information that's out there, because sometimes it's sitting in comment fields in the system once you hack into it, all the information about the server and its versioning. Some recent attacks with regard to getting into a network is that they start guessing at what server system you're using. Then they identify by guesses the firmware, and then they do a firmware update to that system and incorporate their code in that allows them to have access. So, but these are things, again, these processes and methods are there. Let's at least take all the ones that are currently on the page and incorporate that. And as I said, these scans, I think, are an important part. You can scan the framework, look at the whole system and look at framework level vulnerabilities. And there are systems out there today for penetration testing and exploitation. They're not hard to run, but as a checklist, we need to make sure those are completed. And then everyone wants the product connected. Well, how are you connecting it? Is it a direct LAN connection? Is it a Wi-Fi connection? Is that Wi-Fi part of a corporate network? Or is the data going back through a VPN connection, which means you probably can't get to it, but if it's through an open internet connection, you can. So from this standpoint, what I'd recommend as we talk about the webinar and others is we're trying to start the discussion and help get everybody else to add to that discussion so that the industry has a list of checks that they can go through. And over time, we can both improve that list as well as make it easier for us to conduct each of those scans, tests, evaluations to know we're doing the best we can as an industry to protect our customers.
Right. You guys are an endpoint company, or your display company. You, in theory, have a nominal amount of skin in this particular game. You're not running the network. You're not typically selling the media players or any of that stuff. What's driving this from the perspective of Nanolumens?
Well, in my background working in connected solutions, we identified the value of those connected solutions. And with that, about 2 years ago, implemented on making our systems much more intelligent, much like the smart television sets that we built in starting in 03, 05 to the products you see today. And a connected product, again, amazing things happen when you connect products. But with that, all our products that we ship now are fully connected. And since they are fully connected and we have access to them with all those services, it's critical that we work through the nominal list of things that we would have done in consumer electronics, now in this commercial industrial solution with connected products. So, trying to extend the skill from that into this area, these are just logical things that we include. So over the past 2 years, we've included all those. But as we began launching products last year that were fully connected, then we noticed that a lot of the other systems aren't that way. Uh-huh. And in all honesty, that's bad for our industry. So specifically, we need to begin to get the word out to people on that front to understand it. And from our perspective as a company, we certainly building the display products here exclusively 3 years ago to now having fully connected products that do all remote diagnostics. They support a content media player that we provide. We do analytics on what's occurring around the display, and the display makes its own alerts, tests, and audits. We think that those are the kind of things people then realize how connected it is. We need to make sure that the rest of these activities are being implemented on the security side.
Right. Last question. You're doing this webinar. Can you give me the details on when it is, how people sign up, that sort of thing?
The webinar is scheduled currently for August 8th. And the webinar will occur at 2 p.m. And if individuals are interested in the webinar, they can go to the Nanolumens site and receive any of the information to be able to sign up. Of course, it's free. Mm-hmm. And the hope is we have an opportunity to go through this discussion on the topic, plus provide slides that they can have as takeaways for that and handle a few questions. But I do want to emphasize with this, that in no way, you know, do I profess that this webinar is for the purpose to tell people how things are. This is to open up a discussion to help other people be able to gather information on their front and get a dialogue, if you will, a community of people together, mm-hmm. so that we're all helping one another to raise the level of awareness and then the implementation of security and get on the path of continuous improvement to get the industry to a level that we all believe it needs to be for ourselves, our companies, and more importantly, our customers.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think it's an important thing to be talking about.
Well, I appreciate the time to discuss it. And, you know, I look forward to the journey ahead.
All right. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you, Dave.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.